Yeah, come guys. Such a privilege. They've been, we've been hanging with them for the week. They've been done a lot of ministry. We took them up Mount Washington, some of them for the first time to ever see snow. And they went tubing. So they've had a good time. But more than that, they've imparted into our lives. And not only personally, but in the church. And Dave, Sam, we've known them since the 90s too. He had a bit more hair and mine was more like his son's color, I think. But we've grown up together in ministry in various parts of the world. And I just encourage you to receive what God has to say through them. So once again, thank you so much for coming. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Sam, do you want to say anything? Okay, cool. Good. So, Dad, you can film it if you can close up around about 11. So.
Okay, can you hear me? Yeah. It's fantastic to be here.
Good.
Greetings from Australia, the land of the kangaroo and the wallaby. How many of you have been to Australia? Quite a few. Fantastic. I was at the Australian Open a few days ago. It was like 40 degrees, 100 degrees Fahrenheit. But it's been so awesome to come here, and I'm still trying to get used to when to put my jacket on and take it off, and wondering if I should be wearing a puffer jacket right now, but I don't think so. But my wife is a personal trainer. She's into kale. I'm kind of into burgers. We complement each other. Daniel and Zoe kind of aspiring NBA superstars playing basketball in Australia, and they're awesome. And just great to have Myron, Claudia, and Devin, Orlando, and Natalia with us. They're awesome family in our church, and we're so excited to be here. What a great church this is. And I want to thank you for releasing Mike and Deb into the nations. They are lifesavers for us in Australia, and the way that they bring apostolic input into churches around the world, I want you to know that we are so grateful to the elders of this church and to you as a church for releasing them into the nations, because they have a huge impact around the world, and we are the beneficiaries. So thank you very much. Okay, can you please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60? I really feel like this is a now word today. And I feel there's a whole lot of promises in Isaiah 60 that you can claim as a church. It's a great chapter of the Bible. But I also feel it's a now word that God's speaking to his church across the board. Isaiah chapter 60. And so I have this word to declare over you, Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, Oceanside, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, Oceanside, and his glory appears over you, Oceanside. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you, Oceanside. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Naboth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these clouds that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nests? Surely the islands look to me in the lead of the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Your gates will always stand open, Oceanside. They will never be shut day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations, their kings led in triumphal procession. For the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, Oceanside, the pine, the fir, and the cypress together to adorn the place of my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place of my feet. The sons of your oppressors will come bowing before you, Oceanside. All who despise you will bow down at your feet and will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion, the Holy One of Israel. Although you have been forsaken and hated with no one traveling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. You will drink the milk of nations, Oceanside, and be nursed at royal breasts. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold and silver in place of iron, Oceanside. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze and iron in the place of stones. I will make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders. But you will call your gate wall salvation, Oceanside, and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, Oceanside, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Then will all your people be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you, Oceanside, will become a thousand. The smallest, a mighty nation. I, the Lord, in its time, I will do this swiftly. It's an incredible scripture, and I believe there's a lot of promises for you as a church and for you personally here today. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The days of Isaiah 60 are upon you. God is speaking this word, I believe. Now are your greatest days. It's time to give birth to dreams. We're moving into a season to see the fire of God like never before. An Isaiah 60 army is rising out of trial, testing, and fire. I believe it's a new day. I believe it's a new season, and even a new era in God. There's an authority and anointing on you in your sphere of influence. Where God has put you in the marketplace, there's an anointing and authority upon you to take ground, to take hold of the gates in your spheres of influence in the marketplace, to be the church without walls. Decrees will go forth from this place like fire. God is calling an army to decree and to declare and to pray. He is calling you to war with prophecies, as we've looked at the prophetic workshop. You were designed to see answered prayer that Jesus said, so that your joy may be full. And I believe you are going to see an amazing answers to prayer in this season, as God is inviting you to ask of Him, ask outrageous things of Him, ask audacious things of Him. And I believe He's going to answer prayers in an amazing way at this time. I believe your greatest days are upon you and before you. And I see more nations for Oceanside. I see even far-flung places like the South Pacific, Asia, New Zealand, South America, Europe, even in the USA. And I see even a greater expression into Vancouver from this place. Decrees will go forth like piercing arrows from the army of God and pierce the darkness and light fires. I see a rising of a warrior spirit from upon you. I see you carrying new wine of the Spirit into the marketplace. I see outbreaks of intoxicating new wine and His presence and power in the marketplace. I see some of you in offices, some of you in education, bringing the new wine of God. I see an outbreak of His presence in the marketplace. I see business people being given dreams and running with those dreams and seeing an outbreak of new wine in board meetings to disrupt the formality of a board meeting with the power of God. There's an acceleration of the Father's plans and purposes. He's accelerating you. He is propelling you into your destiny. And I'm here not today just to preach, but to herald something. Because I believe your greatest days are upon you. You've seen much success. You've seen much favor. But I feel like God's saying it's going to a whole new level. in quantum leaps and bounds, that there's a global calling on this church, and that people are looking at you and watching you like a model church. But I believe people are going to be drawn into this place, drawn to your light, drawn to your radiance, because the glory of God is in this place. And I just feel like heralding today a season of such favor upon you, for you to dream bigger. Business people, dream more than you've ever dreamed before, because God wants to give you innovation. He wants to give you product designs. He wants to give you solutions that are world's class solutions into business, because he is ramping things up in the last days. I believe these are the last days. Who believes these are the last days? Yeah. But can you sense things are ramping up? Things are accelerating right now. And I feel there's an acceleration on this church. There's an acceleration on this church. The Father says, arise and shine and be an influencer to influencers. You are called to be an influencer to influencers. Arise and shine in the marketplace with your fire, your love, and your creativity. Don't look to yesterday's moves of God, for the greatest move of his Spirit is upon you and before you now. God is speaking of a healing revival, a great harvest, the gospel of the kingdom bringing in a miracle catch. And the Spirit of God is waking and activating his people, and there's an awakening taking place. And you, Oceanside, are called to be an alarm clock to awaken God's people, to awaken and to announce and to stir and to herald that it's a new day and that it's a new era, and that the church needs to arise and shine because his light has come. So many Christians are on the back foot today. People come to me. It's all gloom and doom. Look at what's happening in society. It's gloom and doom. But I feel something different in God. I feel like this is the greatest time to be alive. I feel like this is the greatest time to be in the church. I feel like the church is on the move, that there's such destiny upon us. And God's saying, arise and shine, for your light has come. Don't be on the back foot. Jesus never played defense. Jesus always played offense. No matter what the world throws at us. In the book of Daniel, they were in a fiery furnace and the heat got turned up 7 times hotter. And out there in society, the heat is getting turned up 7 times hotter. And then a lot of Christians are shrinking back, going, oh, the heat's being turned up 7 times hotter. And it's hard out there. But God says their clothes didn't even get singed. There was no smell of smoke. There was a fourth man in the fire. And God is saying there's a grace right now for us to thrive and to go further than ever before. And that God's turning up the heat. God's turning up the heat. There's grace for a generation right now for us to go into new horizons, new panoramas, new vistas, business people, whatever you're involved in, the arts, politics, education. God wants you to shine in the marketplace. And he's saying today, don't be defensive, but your light has come and the glory and the brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. And there's a rising glory on this church. We had a prophetic workshop and I just felt last night there was such a glory of God in the room. We were down at the Buzz Cafe. What a great cafe. Wouldn't mind going there as my local cafe. It was so cool. But just the glory of God in that place. And I thought, wow, we're just here for a brief time. But I thought, wow, there's such a presence of God in this place, such a glory of God, and it's a rising glory, I believe. And I believe you're called to be an alarm clock to the nation. You are being awakened to fresh revelation and the Lord's plans and purposes in your generation. And I feel there's an acceleration, a greater momentum. Watch the hand of the Lord on new pathways, spheres, ministries, assignments, and creative strategies. He is releasing to you. For where you will go, where you follow him, there will be great favor. Where the enemy and the words of others may come against you, where limitations, doubts, and past failures try to contain you, the Lord is decreeing that where he propels you, he will excel you. For where he sends you to govern and rule in your spheres of influence, there will be great joy, awakening, and outpouring of his Spirit to bring revolutionary change. Where the enemy has tried to write the word failure over some of you, God has written the word favor. Where the enemy has tried to write the word failure over some of you, God has written the word favor. The enemy has tried to take some people out. But God says, out of the fire, you will come out of the fire, carrying his fire. It's time to rise and shine as never before. These are unprecedented times, challenging times. And I want to look into Isaiah 60 today, but I also want to look into Isaiah 59. I want us to get the impact of this scripture. And I want to tell a story that highlights what Isaiah was looking at when he declared these words. Sometimes we just go straight to Isaiah 60. We quote the first few verses, but I feel like today I want to get into a little bit of the context of what was going on there with Isaiah. And so I want to tell you a powerful story that sets the mood of Isaiah 60, a 19th century story with a 21st century application, okay? So I'm going to tell this story, and I feel like to get the light and radiance and the impact of Isaiah 60, you need to get the dark backdrop of Isaiah 59. So here we go. In June 1816, there were four French Navy ships who set sail from France to Africa as a little fleet. The Medusa, the Loire, the Big Argus, and the Echo were the four ships of the frigate. And when they got to the coast of Northwest Africa, something went wrong, and the frigate of the fleet, the Medusa, got separated from the rest of the fleet due to a navigational problem. And due to poor navigation, it drifted 100 miles off course. And this frigate got lost, and they came to an island called Cape Barbas, where they hit a sandbank 60 miles from the shore. The frigate hit the sandbank, and it wedged. Incompetence of an inexperienced captain. They were in a storm, and they couldn't move. Absolutely trapped and done for. Literally in the middle of the ocean, the Atlantic. And the storm increased, and it started pounding the ship. And the ship started getting torn apart. So the captain had no choice but to give the signal to abandon ship. But unfortunately, there weren't enough lifeboats, only six, for 250 of the 400 people. A classic 19th century tragedy, dramatic story. But I believe with parallels to society today. So the captain and all the officers got into the lifeboats, as you do. Bad leadership, hey? And there were 147 of the crew left over, soldiers and men. There was no room for them. So what these 147 men did was they started to build a raft from the ship breaking up. The raft was 20 times 7 meters to fit 150 men. And the crew of soldiers kind of lashed this raft together. Remember, the officers are in the lifeboats. So 147 men had to get into a raft, onto a raft. And the plan was to tow the raft behind the lifeboats. So they got a tow rope. So when the 147 men got onto the raft, it sank a meter under the water. So these men are now shoulder to shoulder on this raft and submerged. They've thrown most of the food overboard. And off they go to safety, or so they thought. Everything is going well, but after a couple of hours, the officers decide, being the responsible people they are in charge, that after a couple of hours, it's going to be way too dangerous to tow these men. So the officers decide to cut the tow rope and cast the soldiers adrift. And so they cut the rope and cast them adrift. The raft has no compass, no map, no sail, no nothing. In the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Shocking. But the story gets worse. What they did have, this crew on the raft, was a couple of barrels of brandy and six casks of wine. And meager food, a bag of biscuits, was all they were able to consume on the first day. And after 2 days of bobbing around, people started having delusions and hallucinations as the hot African sun started to kick in. Of course, they were all armed, being soldiers on a military vessel. And they had swords and other weapons. And now some are breaking into the wine and drinking and getting drunk. And soon a fight breaks out on this raft in the middle of the Atlantic. Literally, people were getting killed and slaughtered. They had a civil war on the raft. So starting with 150 survivors, after day two, there were only 60 survivors. During the fighting, two casks of water were lost overboard. And the story gets worse. Then cannibalism set in about day four. See, I'm sharing good news, feel-good stories here today. But I'm painting a picture. To get to Isaiah 60, there's a backdrop of Isaiah 59. I'm painting a picture here I'm painting the mood here. It just got worse and worse and worse. According to a critic, Jonathan Miles, the raft carried the survivors to the frontiers of human experience. Crazed, parched, and starved, they slaughtered mutineers and their dead companions and killed the weakest. Until on about day 13, there are only 15 survivors left on the raft, 147 down to 15. The survivors endured dehydration, starvation, the horror of cannibalism, and they are without hope headed towards their deaths. And then amazingly, suddenly they see a ship. But the ship never saw them and carried on. As bad as it can get. All hope was gone. But then, finally, amazingly, they were rescued by the ship, the Argus. 15 survivors rescued. A dramatic rescue out of horror. So picture yourself on the raft. The story I've been sharing is something of the mood Isaiah was trying to portray in his prophecy. So if we can just turn to Isaiah 59, if you just flick back a chapter. Isaiah is speaking to the people at the time, maybe 750 BC. He's writing to God's people, the people of Judah. And Isaiah is telling them they're in a lot of trouble. He's basically saying, you are a generation heading on a course headed to death, as if you're on this raft. You're in a lot of trouble. He can't put it in any stronger terms. In verse 2 of Isaiah 59, verse 2, he says, your sins have separated you from God. In verse 9, the people become aware of their sin and they say, justice is far from us and righteousness does not reach us. And I wonder if we could put the picture up, if we've got it on the overhead. There it is. Somebody painted this picture. It's a famous painting and it hangs in the Louvre in Paris. A painting called The Raft of the Medusa. The same story I've been telling you. It's a famous painting in the Louvre in Paris. An oil painting by the French romantic painter Theodore Géricault. Excuse my French enunciation there. And this painting became an icon of French romanticism. It's bigger than life size in the Louvre, 16 feet by 23 and a half feet. Something like a 4 meter high picture. Phenomenal painting and work of art, but it's prophetic. It's a picture for our generation, saying this generation is on a raft and you're going to your death. Darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the people. The painter really captures the mood. He interviewed two of the survivors. He constructed a detailed scale model of the raft. Uncommissioned painting, by the way. And he visited hospitals and morgues where he could view the color and texture of the flesh of the dying and the dead. And his painting proved highly controversial at its first viewing in the 1819 Paris Salon exhibition. Now the painting is seen as seminal in the early history of the Romantic movement in French painting. But we line it up with Isaiah 59. It says, you look for light, but all is darkness. You walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes. At midday, we stumble. Verse 12, our offenses are many in your sight. Our sins testify against us. And then verse 14 of Isaiah 59, an astonishing verse that speaks into this generation. Three key words, justice, righteousness, and truth. Justice is driven back. Righteousness stands at a distance, and truth has stumbled in the streets. What language? Truth has stumbled in the streets. How is that for a description of this generation? Amazing language, poetic language from Isaiah to say these three things don't exist. Justice, righteousness, and truth. What about today? Halfway through Isaiah 59, verse 17, God puts on the garments of vengeance. How would you feel if you knew God was coming at you with vengeance? Verse 18, according to what they have done, so will he repay. It's an awful plight if you're on a raft headed for death. Abandoned, you're lost, you've lost your way without hope. You are without resources and any means of salvation. Isaiah 59 paints the picture as the context of chapter 60. Isaiah is saying this nation has gone so badly wrong, there is no justice, righteousness, and truth. This is pretty much a description of the modern world, right? Nowadays, there are wrong things that are said to be right, and things that are right are said to be wrong. people get selective and they say some wrong things are wrong, like murder, and some right things are right, like giving to the poor. But everything has become tangled and convoluted. And there's an attack on absolute truth. It says, truth has stumbled in the streets. And justice, you're kidding me. The whole thing has become convoluted. And if you get confused at times and confused about society today, then he's talking to you as well, saying, yes, it's a description of the world. These people are in a mess in Isaiah 59, and they become aware of it. But then we get this great verse here in Isaiah 60, verse 1. In the backdrop of this darkness, arise, shine. There's a generation waiting in Canada for the church to arise and shine. They're on a raft. They're waiting for the church to rise and shine. Nations are waiting. Jesus is the hope for our generation. So as a context of Isaiah 60, you're headed for death. Justice awaits you. You've messed up truth and righteousness, and God is coming to get you. Certain death is on its way. But if we could have the next slide. Is it the next slide? So there's the painting, right? If we'd have the next slide. The painter. This is a brilliant painting. Because in the backdrop of hopelessness, the artist, if we've zoomed in there, on the painting. See in the top right-hand corner, there's a ship on the horizon. If we go to the next slide, there it is there. The painter painted it in, the rescue ship in. Very tiny and faint, but it's something like Isaiah 59 and then Isaiah 60. In this backdrop of hopelessness, there's the rescuing ship. Jesus is the rescuer for our generation. And so the painter has actually painted in the hope, the rescuing ship in the painting. It's quite amazing. A stroke of genius in the detail of this painting. Amazingly, the painter captures the mood and actually paints the rescue ship in the top corner of the painting. Arise, shine, for your light has come. All is hopeless, but your ship is on the horizon. And I want to say today, now is the time of salvation, Canada, in Jesus Christ. How would you feel if you knew for sure that God's justice is coming? You cannot save yourself from it. Isaiah's listeners were probably feeling like the men on the raft, fearful, anxious, and desperate in need of saving. And Isaiah's message is a prophecy. It's a message to the people then and a message to people now. The message is that we need saving from our sin. There is good news. Embedded in Isaiah's message and embedded in the painting is actually good news. The raft is the story of mankind's experience. Humanity has lost its way. Humanity has shipwrecked itself on the rocks. Humanity is trying to save itself on a rickety raft where scarcity and violence prevail. But Isaiah is the man at the front of the raft who saw the rescue ship from afar. The promise is that from the place of extreme darkness, salvation can be found. The men on the raft are in darkness of despair, but the light of salvation was coming. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen on you. Behold, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the people. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory will be seen upon you. God is coming to get you, Canada. He's seen you. He's seen that you are lost. He's seen that you are under the life sentence of death by his way of judgment. He's seen that you are guilty, floating on a raft of your own making, condemned, convicted, and sentenced. But he's coming to rescue you. He's coming to get you, Canada. He's coming to save you. He already died on a cross for you. And this is the message that Isaiah is bringing. Wake up, get up, rise up, arise, your light has come. The ship has come to get us. Don't stop sleeping, we're saved, we're going home. Your light has come. Jesus is coming for you, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming to get you. Another thing to note is that the rescued people have no light of their own. Rather, Isaiah's rescued people receive God's light. The light is from God. The light is God, it belongs to God. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2, Isaiah speaks about the glory of the Lord, and his glory will be seen upon you. So the light is from God, it belongs to God. The people are dark, but God puts his light on them, in verse 5. And the light is actually God himself. The Lord will be your everlasting light, it says in verse 19. There's actually so many, the metaphor of light is used 20 times in these verses. Isaiah summarizes and uses a word to tell us what the light is. He says in verse 21, your people shall all be righteous. And so Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus. Jesus is the hope of our generation. Jesus is God's righteousness. Jesus is God's light. Jesus is the light of the world. And he's coming for you, Canada. But he's also saying here that it's time for God's people to arise and shine. He's speaking hope to the nation, but he's also saying us, the church, it's time for us to arise and shine. And I'm declaring this over you today. I'm saying over you today, and I'm declaring over you today, there's a rising glory upon you, Oceanside. You are like the rescuing ship in that tale. You are the only connection some people have around you to God. When you share your life, when you share the gospel, you bring hope, you bring salvation to people. It's only God can save. But I want to say, it's time to arise and shine. We think people don't want to know the gospel. People are comfortable. They don't want to hear. Even top executives are lonely. Even people that live in big houses and feel like look like they got it all together, they have crushing needs. They need the gospel. And it's time for us to rise and shine and bring God's life and love, bring his heart, bring his love to the city. I know you're already doing that, but I feel like, oh, I see the real a rising glory upon you to shine as never before and to go into places you've never been before and take the love of God and to see a massive harvest. I feel like God is speaking a massive harvest over you. From here, but also in Vancouver and the nations. I feel like I see teams going out from here and I see great impact being made. And I feel like God is speaking a massive harvest over this church, a miracle harvest over this church. And he's saying, he's encouraging you today. He's not condemning you. He's encouraging you, saying, I'm coming, Canada, in a greater way. You've seen the Toronto blessing, but I feel like God's saying, you ain't seeing nothing yet. They even don't look to past glory days. As great as they were, there's a new day, God's saying. There's a new day of a rising glory, even surpasses Toronto blessing. And I feel like God's saying, put your faith out for a miracle catch. Put your faith out for a miracle. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Verse 3, nations shall come to your light, Oceanside, and kings to the brightness of your rising. People are drawn to light. There's so much light in this church. And I see there's a radiance about this church that's drawing people. Keep shining, keep shining. The magnetism is not us, it's Jesus in us and on us. But in this hopeless world, Jesus is the light of the world and the power of the gospel is to save. In verse 4, Isaiah instructs God's people to look and see many people coming into the light of this community. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together. And I see a great gathering here as you rise and shine. It talks about in verse 6 and 7, the camels of Midian, the flocks of Kedar, coming into the God's salvation community. Midian and Kedar were tribes that were God's enemies in Isaiah's time. Even your enemies will come here. Even those that would seem like your enemies, that might seem like enemies of the church, that something's going to happen, they're going to turn, they're going to come, and they're going to be drawn in here. I prophesy. In verse 9, even those who live in far-off coastlands will come in to you. The most sophisticated trading ships of the day, the ships of Tarshish, will bring in people from afar. Even the glory of Lebanon, verse 13, will come into God's house. Foreigners will be coming to Oceanside. So many promises for you to claim in Isaiah 60. They shall call you the city of the Lord, and the gates of this city are open. You are a city without walls, Oceanside, and there is no bar to entry. All are invited. Don't give up on your loved ones. Isaiah says in verse 5 that God's people will see lost souls entering through the gates and they shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult. Just believe for those people in your family or outside. Just keep praying for them because I feel like God is drawing right now. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. There's a whole lot more I could say. But I also want to say that there's a rising glory upon you. And I feel like God is really speaking about the marketplace. It's not just about church meetings, but I feel like your strength is also in the marketplace. That God has put you should see it as a calling, I believe. God has put you in the arts, in politics, in education, in the media, in business, whatever it is. It's a vocation, it's a calling. Like I'm called to be a pastor, but I'm also a business person. I have a business back in Melbourne. And I go to a lot of, exclusive events. I'm known as an influencer in my city. And God said to me, be an influencer to influencers. I was in a corporate box. I was sharing last night. I was in a corporate box at a sporting event. And there was I got chatting to someone in the corporate box, and they said, I asked them what they did. They said they were working in a church, heading a prophetic ministry. So they were a prophet. And I said, have you got a word for me? And they said, yeah, God says to you, influence the influencers. But I feel all of us are called to be influencers out there in the marketplace, carrying the life of God. And one of the things I really feel passionate about is for you to be you. God validates you. Don't copy somebody else. Don't be a cookie cut Christian. Be free to be you out there in the marketplace. Be you in the church. Bring your gifting. And a lot of people are trying to copy others. Be who you are. David couldn't wear Saul's armor in battle. It didn't fit. Many Christians are wearing someone else's armor. But I believe God is saying, enjoy being you out there in the marketplace. Step into the open doors of opportunity God opens up in the marketplace. And God is giving people inventions. Some of my friends are getting world-class solutions in business. And I feel like these are times where God is wanting to do make possible the impossible. I feel he wants to take businesses to a whole new through the stratosphere. And he wants us to dream big dreams and audacious dreams. He's opening up doors into even into government and things like that. And I just feel like we need to step in to a new season and a new day. Don't wear the old clothes of the old season. Take off the old clothes of the old season and put on the new clothes of the new season with raised expectation, even a changed language. Start to declare and decree the things that God's spoken over you. Rise, shine. There's a glory rising. I've actually got a prophetic word that I feel for Oceanside. It's probably not a word you might expect, but I was waiting on God, and this is the word I got. A word for Oceanside. I feel the Lord wants to speak to Oceanside about families. The Lord would raise up strong families from among you. Families were stationed in Nehemiah with swords, spears, and bows, Nehemiah 4:13. In the restoration and building of the walls, they were strong and strategic families. And I see strong families of Oceanside reaching into generations. I see people attracted to the family of Oceanside. I see God setting the lonely into families. The church is a family, and I see strong families within Oceanside as a hallmark of the church. God is anointing families and setting families on fire and moving through them with significant influence. I see wealth creation for families to be blessed and to be a blessing. I see significant wealth over families as part of God's family inheritance. I sense powerful entrepreneurship over families. I sense significant business success. And where families have lost inheritance, even over generations, I see powerful restoration and reassignment of desolate inheritances, as in Isaiah 49, verse 8. For I feel God is saying that inheritance is not just for the individual. Contend for the inheritance of your family. For God establishes you as a mighty in the land with a vast inheritance, even family dynasties that stretch across generations. I see Oceanside families walking in their destiny and calling across generations. I see God building with strong leadership and apostolic heart and other things, but also with strong families. I feel strong family life is part of the apostolic heart. Families with a love for each other and a powerful life together, but also who have a heart for the city and for nations. I see children inspired by the calling of their parents, but also a revelation that this calling is multi-generational. It's not just a calling for parents, but I see young people buying into kingdom destiny. I feel Oceanside will and is modeling a fresh approach to family, to what is often seen in the church. In some churches, there's been a heavy program-based church where people have had to decide between church and family. But God says this is not meant to be so. God says you're a church that celebrates family, family life, and families. And this is powerful. This is a church that celebrates, supports, equips, and empowers families. It is like in Nehemiah, where strong families were a key to advancing the kingdom. And I sense there is a deep cry across this nation for strong families. Even a desperate cry and a longing across Canada, I sense it's one of the greatest needs this nation faces. There are changes in society regarding family, but I feel a deep cry for family across the nation, even for families intended in the heart of God. People will come to this place, Oceanside, and within seconds will discern a strong sense of family, and something in them will resonate and satisfy their cry for family. This church is like a hospital, a school, and an airport. People come in broken and rise under a canopy of apostolic grace, then are commissioned. There is an attack on family and family life, but God says, stand with the full armor of God, pray and contend, and rise up in your inheritance. There are teenagers on fire here, but also some who say, I'm a misfit. I'm not sure if I belong. But God says, I've made you and designed you to bring a fresh expression and unleash unprecedented creativity. You do belong. You are part of the most creative generation the world has ever seen. You are not called to be a brick, but a unique living stone in a spiritual house. Come with your creativity and fresh expression. Come with your music and art and technology. God is doing a new thing. There's an acceleration upon young people here. I feel there's a heart here for children to go beyond their parents. There is a freedom in Oceanside for families to thrive. And there is space and a highway for people to accelerate into their destiny. There is also a rejuvenation of older people in Oceanside, even some seasoned campaigners where there has been hurt and disappointment, to be revitalized and rejuvenated with fresh vision, a fresh fire to dream again. Yes, and that God would set the lonely and the broken and the needy into family. That is his heart. That is his way. I sense so strongly the deep cry across Canada for family. It's so profound. It's so needed. For strong kingdom families is a key in advancing the kingdom and unlocking the nation. Some will come in weak, even shattered into Oceanside, but will find powerful restoration in the kingdom community, says the Lord. They will get healed and become weapons in his hand into the nations. There will be spectacular testimonies of healing, not just physical healing, but healing related to family life. And even in the healing environment of kingdom family, people will also find physical healing. I see families rising, each knowing their role, love for each other, serving God, and taking dominion and exercising authority as families to step into inheritance. And so, Lord, I speak today fire on the families of Oceanside. Can you say amen? Yes, Lord, there's a rising glory upon you. And I feel like you can claim Isaiah 60. The promises of Isaiah 60 as a church and as people. I wonder if I could just pray. As I was sharing today, I was sharing about the need for salvation. Truth, righteousness, justice, stumbling in the streets. On a raft, maybe someone here today feels like, yeah, some today feel like, yeah, I've been on that raft. I actually don't know Jesus. I feel like I am on that raft. I feel like things are going crazy around me. I feel lost. I feel I need a Savior. I feel like I need Jesus. I feel like I need to bow to this Savior and say, yes, Lord, I've tried to do it my own way, but I'm lost. I'm adrift on the ocean, my own boat. And I can see the light and I want to respond. Forgiveness of sin. He brings forgiveness of sin. He forgives you of all your sin. Past, present, and future, and he washes you clean. And I wonder today, is there anyone out here today that would respond to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, yes, I want to know him today. I want to be washed clean. I want the light of Jesus Christ. Could you raise your hand? Can you raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you. Anyone here today who wants to know Jesus Christ, say, yeah, yeah, today. I want to know him. I want his light. I want to know him. Is there anyone here today? I just want to give that opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to give that opportunity. But Lord, I want to pray today for this church. Lord, it's seen so much success and so much momentum, and Lord, you just love this people. But I feel like the Lord's saying there's more. He's saying there's a glory rising upon you. And to arise and to shine in the marketplace, to shine where God has put you, to realize that this is a calling on my life, to shine where God has put me during the week, Monday to Saturday, Monday to Friday, to shine. So, Father, I just pray for a shining. I pray, Lord, for the creatives that are here today. Lord, that they would use their creativity in the most amazing way, Lord, to shine for you. I pray for business people today, Lord, that you would propel them in business, Lord. Lord, that they would be given inventions, that they would break open markets, that they would be put in places of influence, Lord, to bring kingdom wherever they go, the gospel of the kingdom. I pray for those that are involved in education, Lord, the teachers and others, the students, Lord, that they would be able to shine, Lord, in those institutions, Father. They would come with the gospel of the kingdom once again, Lord. You would open doors for them, Lord, and give them the heart of Jesus in education. For those in the arts, in politics, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would be courageous, Lord, and shine for you. I pray we'd be courageous, Lord, and shine for you as never before. Thank you, Lord, you equip us. You put your presence on us. You train, Lord, this is a training and equipping center here at Oceanside that equips people for the marketplace, for living out there. And I pray, Lord, you'd be glorified in all these areas, Father, where you've put us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would take us to the nations. I pray, Lord, for families of this church, Lord, strong families of this church, and the people out there that are broken, Lord, that don't know family or come from broken families, would find amazing community here in this church, Lord, amazing love in this church, Lord, that there would be a canopy of grace and love over this church, Lord, a protection, and that people would flourish in this greenhouse of encouragement, Lord, to go beyond anywhere they've ever been before, Lord, to shine for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just declare today, rise, shine, Oceanside, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Lord shines on you, Oceanside. I'm here today to say the Lord shines on you, Oceanside, and that you are making a huge difference in this community. And keep shining, because there's more. There's much more for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. Lord, we just praise you. You're so good. Your favor is intense, Lord. You're a good God. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Wealth carried on the seas to this church, Lord. Massive resources. I prophesy massive resources over this church. I feel like the language is going to change from thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, to actually a billion flow. A billion flow. Massive resources carried on the seas. Everything you need for the commission, for the task, God is going to resource. Thank you, Lord. Abundance. Abundance. I see storehouses being broken open and abundance released. Thank you, Lord. I see signs and wonders and miracles flowing through this church. Even people on the streets sharing the love of God. There's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles, even the greater works of Jesus. Healings. Thank you, Lord. Declare it in Jesus' name. Rise, shine. Your light has come. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing word. But with a word like that comes tremendous responsibility. Now, we can get these words and put them on the shelf and talk about them in years' time. Or we can step into it. And I just want to tell you something about Dave. I've known him. He's a humble man, but he has a prophetic voice in the nations. And I tell you, every single one of those words was the prophecy. And I know, Dave, that he will spend 3 to 6 months sometimes praying, maybe fasting, of a word for the church that he's brought here. This is not something that just came out of his head, but out of his heart. And I just want to say, with prophecy, with the prophetic, we have an opportunity to take hold of it or leave it on the shelf. It doesn't happen if we don't begin to walk in it. And wouldn't it be so sad that God has brought a man from the other side of the world? I haven't asked him. I don't know what he's preaching. I don't have to. I trust him to give us this powerful word. While I'm sitting here, it just almost brings a reverent fear of God upon me and as a church. We don't want to be proud about this. We want to walk in humility. But let's begin to take hold of that. That's been on video. It's online, audio. And I encourage you just to go through those things. And, you know, one thing about a great harvest is, how many of you like fishing in this place? If you could stick your hands up. He said, many fish will be coming in. How many of you like cleaning fish? 2-3 weird people. The bottom line is people are going to come in here that are going to be need to be cleaned up by the power of God. And we've got to be very careful that we don't make it a place where people from the streets and people with addictions and wherever they're coming from, or people in this place right now who are afraid to ask for help because of what people might say. And I think that's even a bigger fear for me, that God would bring people, or people may be here and they won't sense the love, forgiveness and acceptance that Jesus Christ gave each one of us. So let's take this seriously, church. How many of you want to see Canada shine with the light of the glory of God? All of us, amen. And if I could just say, if we could just raise our hands and say, thank you, Dave, for this amazing, amazing. Thank you, team. We want to honor you. And please pray for Haiti. We trust him for big things. I leave tomorrow. And is Axe on the Streets on this week? It was yesterday. So if you want to get part of that team, please chat to Joy. We go on the streets and minister to people. But let's end up by a little bit of worship. Now tonight it's a worship time, but it's going to be a prophetic time too. Dave's going to share a little bit and minister. If you were at the Buzz last night, it was like heaven broke in. Beyond. And so encourage you, if you just want to be refreshed, you don't have to stay the whole time. You might stay longer than you think. But also invite people. There are people there that had basically never been gone to church before, or if they had, are not serving God. And they were some of the ones that stayed the longest. Somebody in the church here just invited them, and the guy was saying to me afterwards, I can't believe they came. And like I said, they were one of the last to leave. So let's bring them in. Let's the Spirit of God come in this place, and let's trust God for big things, not for Oceanside, not for us, but so that He can get the glory. If God can use the people in the gym on a road called Jingle Pot in a place called Nanaimo, when I travel around and people ask you when you're from, where you're from, and I tell him we meet in the gym. It's a cool gym, but anyway, on a road called Jingle Plus in a place called Nanaimo. They can't even pronounce it. They all start laughing. But it's so wonderful, isn't it, that God would use a place like this. And if we take hold of this, I can believe that we will start seeing the breakthrough that God has promised us for many years. So that's